This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio. Racer Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
How you doing, kiddo?
Fantastic. It's beautiful outside. Yes, missing it.
We should have our radio show out on the patio. Oh, we don't have a patio.
I'm like, where?
We're
on the fifth floor, Dave.
Made you think. Well, hang out the window or at least blow the window. Yeah, we're over here in this little cubby hole. This segment is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you have a business that has cash registers, you could use Southwest Point of Sales, especially if your cashiers are an issue. These guys could take care of the whole thing. They'll come in, take a look at your facility, and if it fits, man, you get 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-day service. Phone number is 1-800-542-2149. Give the gang a call. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ. Well, I almost called you Audrey. Can you imagine, Brittany, name. We actually got dirt duty?
I know. It's about time.
And he doesn't, now he's on his phone.
It's not that big of a deal. I mean, I show up and you guys are like, you're never here. I call in all the time.
But we haven't. Yeah,
but we like to have people. In fact, you're going to love this show because in these.
I get to be on it.
Well, besides that, AJ Bender's going to call in and he's going to talk about
Chili
his
Bowl.
First experience at Chili Bowl. I don't know. How did he did okay?
He made it to the E, and Rhoda made it to, like, the C or B.
I think he made it to the B.
And for AJ, that's not bad. I mean, and I don't know if you heard the story how Cruz Pendergon gave him the car.
Yeah, I was listening. Okay. I listen every Sunday.
Oh, okay, well, that's
Thanks,
good.
Started.
And you know, and he was sitting there going, I'm just going to go have fun. And I'm sure, you know, how he is. He's always smiling. He's always happy, so.
And he's got the support from his family, too.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what his response was. See, Barona got the schedule out.
Yes, we do.
So everybody is getting...
Everyone's either happy or unhappy. I know
we're
going to
go straight there.
What are
the
unhappy?
Dwarfs are like, we got cut on days.
We have half the races that the mods have. So.
Who does?
The dwarf cars.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what's going to really help that? I can't believe we started the show with that.
Well, I mean, you know, it's...
just knowing why.
I don't know if there's a reason why yet.
I think we have to go through it.
I think the part is you're going to have to go through it and see, evaluate each group and see which one's going to stand. Like, you know, everyone's talking about these pony stocks are going to be iffy on the last leg. Like, is this their last season or not? Mm-hmm. Street stocks. I'm telling you, this is probably going to be their last season as a street stock, Verona street stock. We are going to go to IMCA street stocks. Pretty much. Paris now. I just saw they're going to go to IMCA Sport Compacts.
Yeah.
So that means
everybody's going IMCA.
And it's the best thing to do. I mean, it kind of limits your car, but.
But you could go everywhere.
Yeah. You can go here. You can go back east. You can.
Yeah.
It's the same set of rules, so you don't have to worry about, is my car compliant?
And that's always been the complaint. And this is not a bag on Barona, but that's always been the complaint of small family-owned racetracks. Is that they're not part of the big group.
See, that was the problem before because our cars weren't
Cajon
the
Speedway
same
was the same thing.
Paris runs a different set of rules for their cars. Like their door bars are different. Their plate to have the door have a door plate.
Right.
You know,
right.
But if you run the IMC rules, it's all gonna be the same between this track and every other track that's in the United States.
So I know that dwarf cars don't run IMCA anywhere. Is that the same with pony? Is that why the pony might be going out or what?
I think the pony is really hard because it's hard to find a pony anymore. Like pinos are far and few between.
Oh, they're all munched.
Yeah,
you can keep scavenging one together.
They've either caught fire or they're crushed.
I know, right? They caught fire.
Let's talk a little bit about dwarf cars for a moment.
We got lumped together with ponies and lawnmowers. And so, there's a little bit of disappointment.
You're going to be running with a lawnmower.
No,
you'll win.
No, I just mean we have eight. We have half the races, like the ponies.
Okay, so let's talk. Let's talk about
lawnmowers.
Well, let's talk about the gorilla in the room. What's car count?
I would say that it was definitely lower last year than it was a few years ago. Now, a few years ago, we were the only ones that repeatedly had B mains.
Right.
You had over
and
20.
That quickly got forgotten.
You had over 20 almost every race.
And I think you have to have, because if you're a promoter, it's all about car count.
Correct. And there is...
What shows goes. That's pretty much what it is. What shows goes.
And now it's these little compact, these little front wheel drivers.
That's kind of, well, that's another thing that's kind of replacing the ponies, because you can get into those so cheap.
$1,500?
You can get one and start racing.
Wait, what's your name? Like, bought one for $600.
Yeah.
$600. I, so, I mean, and let's face it, you know, the legend cars. When's the last time you've seen a legend car?
Well, I don't even know where they ran. That's before my time.
Well, they used
to
run.
They're asphalt. And I saw one going through PB, no, not PB, Encinitas the other day.
On the street?
Outside of a gas station.
Oh, it's my buddy Scott. He's diehard. He's not giving up on those cars. And I think he has like two or three of them that he works on for people when they go. Because those are an asphalt car. That's not a dirt car.
They're designed
as an
asphalt.
Where were they ran? What was the closest venue?
They used to run a Cajon.
Irwindale.
Orange Show. Anything with asphalt, that's what they ran. Because it's kind of the brother to the dwarf car.
Oh, it absolutely is. I understand that.
You know,
well,
so that's,
yeah, I mean, the difference
the motorcycle
between them.
Engine and,
well,
it's the closest thing.
But they run a sealed Kawasaki motor,
right.
And they're supposed
limited.
To have fenders,
right?
Fiberglass fenders, no steel,
right?
And then,
right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean,
it was
asphalt sister.
Yeah. So, but this is what motorsports is all about. I mean, look at the Lightning Sprints. They weren't around for. They came, they left, and now they're coming back
again. You
know,
and I think that might be similar, a parallel, because. Not to get too much into it, but there's definitely a perspective that I have where there was a whole lot of drama that happened in our division quickly, and it really turned a lot of people off,
yeah.
And
unfortunately.
That kills it, too.
And it really dampens
And that's what
our
happens
division.
With other divisions, too. Like, we've had other divisions that had a whole bunch of drama, and they're like, they're never coming back. I'm like, hey,
good.
You're not hearing me complain.
We didn't want
it's really
but you know
a
what?
Sad thing.
And what have you been talking about? For the last
a lot of
6 months.
Dave, help me.
Sport combat.
And that's because I am willing to promote Verona.
No, but I'm saying you've been talking about buying one. You want it, right?
I want to help promote them, but not
but
to cut
also,
off my nose.
No. But what happens if you didn't get to drive the dwarf and you went to that division?
No, I would not do that.
Okay.
No, right. Once in a dwarf.
Always a dwarf.
I'm not going to. Probably do the sport compact.
Okay.
No, well, but I'm still going to help
buying
promote it.
One last Thursday.
No, that's totally different. It's that demo.
Oh, I'm
cross,
sorry, demo cross car.
And I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but
yeah,
that's a
why.
Whole different animal.
Okay.
Up at Paris.
That's gotcha. That's an unregulated show.
Yeah, that is amazing, and
see,
that would excite me.
She loves it.
I don't think, and I don't mean to offend
anybody. You're taking
anybody.
Your knife in your hands in that one.
I don't
yes.
know. I don't mean to offend any sport compact driver. I think it is a great division for reasons.
Right.
Just not. It wouldn't address my reasons.
Your need.
Yeah, my needs.
Your needs.
I don't think you start in a dwarf car and then
right.
go to that. But I'm still going to help promote it because I think it
but,
has
but,
many
you know,
things to offer.
Would you say you got half the races?
Yeah, I think it really has sent a message. Unfortunately, unless we get the real reason why, and I don't know, there's a lot that goes into it,
well,
and it's unfortunate.
You're also got to figure. I mean, we want to get away from running seven divisions in a night. It kills you. It kills the track.
Yeah. So you know what I thought?
So
I
we want to try and get down to five divisions.
I thought I would see everybody eight races and four or five divisions a night. That's what I thought I would see, because isn't that how Brad does it at Coco Paw? A lot less divisions per night.
Yes.
Yeah. And so
he doesn't run as much there. Like, he's not running a pure stock or anything like that. And unless he opens that night up. Most of the time they run, like their Winter Nationals was modified the sport mod modified and sport compacts, but then they were bringing in the IMCA cars. They had the IMCA hobby stocks and the IMCA street stocks.
Well, I think IMCA is going to take over, if you want my opinion.
IMC does not apply to the dwarf car world.
No,
and
I
probably
understand.
Not the lawnmowers,
they probably
who have
won't,
eight as well.
They probably won't at some time, but they might if they...
If the car count.
They're not going... Dwarf cars are not going to take on and anywhere around here.
Because you've already
the
have...
The open wheel, the
you
lightweight...
You already have Western states rules, and then you have Arizona IMC. State. I mean, dwarf cars have been around for a while. They've been,
oh, yeah.
And they've never embraced the IMCA.
I don't. Or the IMCA has never
because they've never
that.
Traveled outside of the West Coast area. I don't
right.
think
no,
you don't
the
see
Western
them too much.
Dwarf car. We go all the way over to Texas. It just doesn't apply with
see
the
back
open
east?
Wheel and the
is
lightweight.
Is there anywhere you're running back east, Wisconsin? You know, like where's like the big tracks up there, Iowa? Like
not
Boone?
Dwarf cars. I don't think.
Yeah, they're
don't
not.
Go all
you're
the
not
way
crossing
there.
Over into the big area where racing is racing. Like those guys race 7 days a week right. in Iowa
in sprint cars.
Right.
Sprint cars, street stocks,
not right. dwarfs.
Let's take a quick break right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. 1595 East Main Street. They got inventory, folks. You can't go down there and pick up a truck. You can pick up a used car. You can take all your cars that you own to the service department, and they'll work on them as well. They support Barona Circle Track, and Paul Dykes trying to win every championship Barona has. And he's working on it slowly but surely, and he's doing quite well at that. Hey, we got our good buddy Todd Salazar on the line. Hey, Todd, how's it going, man?
How are you guys?
Getting ready for the season. How about you?
Well, we've been going down to Cocopah. We've been spending a lot of time down there with Brad.
Good.
And this is our first weekend off, but we spent Thanksgiving out there. And New Year's wow. for the modified, for the Nationals.
Yeah.
Winter Nationals.
Yeah.
And then Trisha's grandma passed away, so we didn't go for the last
year. Sorry to hear that.
But, yeah, no, it's cool having a couple, a couple weeks off.
Yeah, I guess so. So the schedule's out. And yeah. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but the dwarf car folks were kind of wondering why their schedule got diminished.
You know, my
somewhat.
Plan, by the way, was to talk about Supercross today.
I know,
just
but
say,
I
didn't bring this
think,
up.
But you
did
mentioned
you see how empty it was. God, I was like surprised.
Would you stop talking about Supercross for a moment?
It was good though.
Yeah, I know. You can't take him anywhere.
What's up, boss?
What's going on, guys?
So,
holding in there.
Okay, so for the dwarf cars drivers, can you explain the schedule?
We were trying to cut back on classes because we have too many classes.
That's what we just said, so, yeah.
Okay, so the bottom line is the reason why we came out late is we had other things going that we were trying to get some other groups, and we're trying to split everything up.
Mm-hmm.
We can do whatever we want, you know, as far as adding classes.
Oh, yeah.
We just had to get the schedule out.
Yeah.
We were talking and trying to do something for doing a dwarf car national. Mm. All kinds of things.
Right.
We just had to get the schedule out.
Right.
So
people should just put their seatbelts on and just back off and relax.
Well, I agree.
We can relax and we will. I talked to another driver and we'll accept it and we'll get out there and race. It helps to know why, you know, you say a variety of classes, but modified has 16 races, pure stocks 13, sport compacts 13, pony sport modified 11. And then the dwarfs just wonder why we're lumped together with the ponies and lawn mowers. And so it just seems weird. And to have all of June,
that's
no races and all of July.
Yeah.
No, I say that because lawn mowers and ponies and dwarfs have 8 races as opposed to 16 and 13.
Okay, so they're not lumping them together. So they just have down to the 8.
We're down to half.
Right.
And so, and then none in June and none
in Todd,
July and
so
none
Todd,
in October.
Does car count?
So, yeah.
I'm not going to go into the whole thing. It is what it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Well, and that's fine. It's fine. But again, you know, if people are wanting to know, I personally think that, you know, car counts everything. I mean, and you've got, and you can't put 2 pounds of salami in a 1 pound bag. You know, you want to try to get the racing in, make it good racing, and get home before 2 a.m.
It's hard because it's just right. like a circus. You're juggling everything.
I know.
You're trying to go, okay, I got to keep this group happy. I got to keep this group
I
happy.
Know.
And everyone wants to race every weekend, but you can't race every
no,
weekend.
No, you can't. The play, I mean,
I understand all that. There's just a difference between 8 and 16. And I totally, like I said, I thought maybe everyone would get 11 or something, and then we'd have 4 or 5 divisions.
Yeah. Well, like
so
he
that's
said,
all. It is what it is.
I think
but
one of the
just be truthful.
Okay, but now let's talk about this
guys real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I called in to talk about the schedule and not get beat up about the.
Oh, door. You're not getting
no,
beat up.
And yeah,
hey, you're part
I
of the family.
I didn't plan on going there. I wanted no, to talk no, Supercross. No.
But Todd, you're part of the family, and. You would much rather have people talk to you than not talk to you. You know what I'm saying? I get it.
People can speculate.
Yes.
People can speculate whatever they want.
Right.
We were down at Cocopah.
Yeah.
So we were down there. We left San Diego. We got there Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
They had 178 cars Jesus. For their practice.
Jesus.
Every night, they had over 200 cars.
Wow. Yeah, right? That was awesome.
So people are talking about the Sport Compacts. The Sport Compacts are a new class of cars.
Yeah.
Okay, the pony stocks are a group of cars for the kids to go and move up.
That's a
cool. We should bench them, but the problem is the reason why we're not is because of that one aspect.
That's a good reason.
It is a okay. So
yeah, by the rules, there's two classes that you can come out of a junior division racing. Dwarf cars is one, and ponies is the other.
So that is a great reason.
But look at the cost difference.
I was just going to say. Mm-hmm. Cost okay. difference is ridiculous.
So they can't go okay, into sport,
so the
compact?
Sport compacts. Oh, maybe. The sport compacts, you can get a car, a POS, for $2,000.
Yeah.
So you're talking about
so
sport
compacts. So can juniors go into sport compacts?
But the thing is, we never had sport compacts here before.
Are they
going to
make
now...
it though, so that they can? Because that sounds like a reasonable
I think it's
14
idea. 14 years old.
Is it 14?
14? Oh, okay, yeah. So they can.
So they can. And I like the fact that you're partnering and bringing IMCA in. Because now that gives these drivers an opportunity to go to more than just one racetrack. And so I applaud you for that. I really, really do.
Todd, did you get a chance to work with anyone on the schedule? Like, did you talk to Paris or anything like that?
No, they don't care what we're doing.
No, they...
We were down at Cocopah.
They care.
We met with the vice president of IMCA, Paul Vetter, the regional director who comes to our track. He comes once a year.
Uh-huh.
And they like what we're doing. So, you know, the bottom line, the sport compacts, they've been out for 3 years. They have to build,
yeah.
You know. We are just trying to do what we have to do to make things work.
Sure.
That's it.
Did you see that they opened up sport compacts to Paris now? They're going to be racing
I
Paris?
I saw that.
Yeah.
Good. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
That's great for the drivers. That's great for everyone involved.
I'm sure, like, a lot of the guys that wanted to get more time, because the more you race in the IMCA division, it goes towards your point. So, Ken McWilliams is one of those guys that's in that area.
Is that the guy who called in last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah, he was great.
I liked
Mike Duran. Mike Duran and Mike Gold Duran Jr. and his son-in-law who come to Brona. Uh-huh. They live in El Centro.
Right.
Saw him at Cocopah the last time we were down. They're in Vegas right now.
Yeah.
The guy's having a time of his life.
Sure.
There's a few that went out there.
Mike Gold Sr., I've known the guy for 30 years. He rolled his car at Cocopah. They were out driving to Vegas, you know, this week. They're having a great time.
Wow.
Trying to remember the kid that from our track that went out there, wiped the front of the car off, went to the wrecking yard, bought a new front end, put it on the car, came back out for the main event the next night. Zachary Conyers, that's who it was.
That's it.
Zach, job, dirt, dude.
Oh, man. He showed his car, and there's nothing on the front of it. He's up. Oh, we're heading to the wrecking yard.
Oh,
we're
going
to rebuild the car. They had everything, like, screw
well,
gun
to
the
but
thing.
But that allows people... to get into racing on a budget. What was her name? She bought a car for
Angela.
$600. $600.
Yeah. Just about race ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no offense, you can't buy a dwarf car for $600.
Correct.
It's a stepping stone class.
I totally agree. And that's
it's
what
a great class.
That's what your track is all about. It's for people to get into it. If they're good, who knows? We're going to have AJ Bender call in. He got picked up by Cruz Pendergon. and went back to the Chili Bowl. He's never been in one of those cars in his life. But these little tracks are so important to the racers because you never know who's watching and you never know who's going to make a phone call.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I can't wait for you guys to get rolling again. Hopefully this pandemic thing will be under control so we can at least run like we did last season. I thought last season was a phenomenal season. I thought you guys did an awesome job. I really do.
We're bringing the hobby stocks over just to change it up a bit. We're going to start the season off with the big wing, the V8 sprint cars, the ASCS sprint cars. They had 35 of them at Kokopah.
Right. Whoa.
35 freaking cars.
How are you going to hold them in that track?
I know. Well, I said, can that be scary?
How are you going to keep them in the track?
Oh, it was rad. It was a really good show. Yeah. We had a great time watching those guys down there.
Yeah. Now that's great news, and I'm thrilled that the schedule's out, and because let's face it, last year you guys were working on it, and everybody was yelling, "Where's the schedule? Where's the schedule?" So you get it out early, and now they're yelling at you again.
Just asking why.
We're just going to have to work through all of it.
Oh, no. It's going to be once everybody gets out, starts racing, the season gets started. Because I tell you, we had a lot of kids from that track. And I'll tell you what, these kids, that's the future of Barona. And these kids are so into Barona, I can't even begin to tell you. It's a click if I've ever seen one.
There's always next year because whatever goes wrong this year, you can fix it for next year.
Yeah, there's always next year. So you're all done with your vacations?
No.
Not so much.
April 2nd.
We're going down
end of March
next week for the big sprint cars.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down. We're going to go down and watch that. Oh. And then it's time to get to working on the racetrack.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you have any cleanup parties or anything like that, definitely let Dirt Dude know, or you call in and, you know, see if we can get people to come out and, you know, help spruce the place up and, you know, get it to in that pristine condition you're hoping for.
We can do that.
I know.
So April 2nd, we're going to do the ASCS sprints.
Okay.
Wing sprint cars.
Okay.
IMCA modifieds, the sport mods, pure stocks, dwarf cars.
Yep. Three in April.
Stocks.
And in June, July.
And the mini dwarfs and the junior sprints.
Hey, by the way, I got to get you to get me the name of the lawnmower guy because I've got two of them in my yard.
Oh, stop. The riding ones?
Yes, I need to get rid of them.
I might take one if they run.
Do they
no,
have
I blew
belts?
The motor up in one, and I don't know what's wrong with the
Do
other one.
Do you have to wear seatbelts for that?
No, they're like a go-kart.
You kind of want to maybe get away from it if it rolls
Those things
over,
are
huh?
so...
And are they top-heavy?
No, they chop them down. They're nice and low.
They're lowered, yeah.
No, and they run good at Barona.
How fast did he go? Wesley go in that orange one.
Oh.
He did like 62 or 72 miles an hour.
And that wasn't the fastest one. They have a couple other that were faster. They're running alcohol.
Yeah. No, these guys are so hardcore serious. I mean, you look at them and you're going, it's a lawnmower. But you can't say that or they'll smack you.
Yeah.
Not sure, to them, it's not a lot more.
I didn't make friends today with any of those drivers.
Hey, well, I appreciate you calling in. I hope you don't really think we're beating up on you. All we were doing, because we're the only show down here that deals with this, and we get tons and tons and tons and tons of questions. We could do a two-hour show. That's how much information comes pouring into this show. And we're happy to do it. And I applaud you for calling in, even though you didn't think it was going to go the way it went. But you handled it well. You guys are doing an awesome job. Keep up the good work. And remember, we're on your side.
It's all good. Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back a lot more right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by the good folks at Paris Auto Speedway. They're getting ready for the season. They got their schedule out. And we have got one of their superstars the man that came back from the Chili Bowl, and his eyes are bigger now than they ever were. AJ Bender. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Are you survived?
You know what? I definitely got that Chili Bowl flu, and it's taken like all week to get better.
No, he doesn't have the flu. He's just hooked on the Chili Bowl, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's totally worth it, though.
It was worth it.
So when you're sitting in a chair, does it still feel like you're going around and around and around?
Yeah, you know, it was an experience. It was awesome. I wish we did better, obviously, but you know,
at your first time. I mean, what? I mean, you made it to what, E?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was nice. It was nice that I didn't have to put my driving suit on Saturday until like 4 o'clock. So that was a lot better than 300 other guys. So.
Oh yeah. But you know what? It was an experience. Now the problem is, did you get that bug?
Yeah. Are you going back?
Yeah. Absolutely. I would definitely go back and drive someone's midget. But after experiencing midgets, because I've never really experienced midgets, I would never own a midget.
Whoa. Okay.
Okay. Why is that?
They're as difficult as the lightning sprints are, and then they're as moody as sprint cars are. You know, you kind of get the best and worst of both worlds, I feel like.
We
had some motor issues, so like we were diving into the car and, you know, kind of figuring stuff out a little bit more than we were expecting we were gonna have to. So just learning about them that much, I was like, man, these things are tough. I in my head I thought they were just like sprint cars, you know, like, you know, just had the magneto and you just plug everything in there and just make sure your timing
half
was good.
A sprint car because they're four cylinder.
Yeah, exactly. But then I had a bunch of really smart guys over there with computers all plugged into it and telling me that it's missing here and missing there. And I was like, man, I didn't even know you could do that with these things.
I felt
out of place.
But look at the education you got.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. If we didn't have all these smart people, I mean, luckily I got to thank Cruz and Corey Cruzman were there. And Corey plugged his laptop in and helped us out with a bunch of stuff. And then the guy whose team we were pitting out of, he's a super smart guy from Indiana. And he, you know, they did all their wizardry stuff.
I was going to say, I can hear him now. Boy, get out of the way. Let me take a look at this thing. Right? Plugged it all in.
How cool was it rubbing elbows with the who's a who in the racing world?
That was pretty cool. I mean, I think that's the best part about Chili Bowl is you get a race with everyone. It's like, I mean, I've heard people mention it, you know, but it's cool that just anyone, any old person like me can get out there and race against Larson and all those guys you just watch on TV, you know?
A Bush, Kyle Bush.
Yeah, Kyle Bush, yeah.
Give yourself a little bit of credit. You're not just any old driver that got to do this. I mean, the only thing you're lacking is seat time. If you had the seat time they had and knew the cars the way they knew the cars, so I wouldn't cut yourself any slack. I think, you know, you did extremely well. The key is, as long as you learn from it and you can't wait to go back. That's the golden rule in my book.
Oh, yeah. When I was talking to Cruz, the guy who owns the car, he's like, all right, we're going to be there every day. We're going to be tired of looking at midgets by the end of it. Next Saturday night, I was like, you know, I'm not tired yet.
Yeah, right.
That's funny.
So what did he, did he tell you we'll be back next year?
Yeah, he did. He was really excited about it. He wants to try to work something out. He wants to get a new car after seeing his car, because his car is just a little bit older than the rest of the cars, you know. So he was all amped on. He's like, let's get a new car. Let's get new motor and do this thing right. And talking about possibly going, I might go out to Indiana to do some testing.
Yes.
So we're not coming into it, you know, completely green. So hopefully it all works out. I mean, it's all talk until it's real. But
that's true. Just don't let them forget about you.
I bet you your jaw hasn't stopped aching, because you smile more than anybody I ever seen. And if you're amongst all those who's who of racing, yeah, I mean, you had to be like a kid in a candy store.
I was after my
prelim night. I definitely I tried not to. I was going into it just not thinking about it, just any old race, you know. Cause I didn't want to make mistakes from being nervous, so I didn't even think about it at all. I kind of just got in the car, went down the ramp, did my lap, figured out how to be better, and then I went early. I went Tuesday, so then I had the rest of the week to just kind of ooh and ah and being like, man, that was cool. I got to go down the ramp, you know. I got to do the start on and race inside. That was kind of cool, racing in a building before.
Oh, that's true.
A big building.
It's a big building, but it's a little track.
Yeah, did you get to experience some of the great food there too?
Oh, I did. I did. My parents are from Texas, so going to Taco Bueno and Whataburger. I'm sure I pronounced that wrong because they told me all week I pronounced it wrong.
Whataburger.
But we did all that, and then all the food inside the Expo Center. Oh, I had to try the chili pie. I was the food was messing me up for a little bit. A little too hard.
Yeah, I was just going to say. And by the way, believe it or not, I've never had one, so I'm going to ask you that next question, but it's W-H-A-T-A burger. What a burger. But people call them Whataburgers. They have all these crazy names for it. So compared to In-N-Out, since you're not back there.
Oh, it doesn't even compare.
Ooh, I've had people tell me that they like a Whataburger way better than In-N-Out.
Nice. I mean, that was like the first place we went to was because I was like, okay, I got to try it. Everyone always talks about how good Whataburger is. And, you know, it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's not bad, but I don't think it compares to In-N-Out in any way. The fries are good. I'll give them that.
Yeah, because In-N-Out fries are terrible. I mean, they're the...
Yeah.
When they're hot, they're good.
Not even good
for
hot.
For 2 minutes, they're great.
Yeah, they're just... I don't know what it is.
I'm on Dave's side. I don't like the fries at all. I think they're the worst fries in the world.
I know. They're just they're bland. There is no flavor whatsoever. Okay, so you're back.
Are we looking for a ride this season?
I hear you're looking for a ride.
Yeah, always looking for a ride. Just trying to make it easier on the old man because it's tough to run the car. I mean, it's more or less, you know, he always has the car there for me to run. But it's just tough for him to travel, and I want to travel, and I want to get out and do all the races, and it would love to run for a season, like for points in a season. But we don't have the funds to do it, so we do what we can. But I always try to put it out there that I'm looking for a ride, and hopefully something comes up. You know, the whole racing community looking for a ride thing's kind of always weird. You know, half the time you don't know until about a day or two before the race.
Did you have anything planned for anything coming up? Like, I know Cocopa is running some sprint cars, and Paris is going to start their schedule pretty soon. You got anything that you're going to be able to maybe throw in on that?
Yeah, we're planning on doing all the Paris races. We wanted to do the Cocopa thing next weekend, but we literally just unloaded this car from powder coating like a couple hours ago. I'm sitting here looking at it right now. So
you got something to do.
I don't think we're going to make Cocopa. Our engine's still being worked on, too, so we're definitely not planning on doing Cocopa unless I get a phone call.
Which has happened. It can happen. You know it.
Yeah, stranger things.
I'm a believer in it now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking, think about this, because, you know, you're always looking for a good crew. I would go to a local high school that has an auto shop and talk to the shop manager and see if there's a couple of guys or girls that he thinks would have the ability to help you. Wouldn't that be a great way to go?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to get people interested in it, you know.
Well, it gets you some good labor. Get you some good labor, but, I mean, I guess it's got to be better labor than good labor, huh?
Free labor is pretty awesome.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with it, because you just never know. Because, I mean, you know, there's kids out there, just like yourself when you were younger, that would do anything to get on the track with somebody, whether they're driving or wrenching, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's just a good way to get people into the sport, really, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we need right now, is people to get more involved in this stuff.
Right. No, I'm right there with you. We were, you know, like I said, we were following you, and it was unfortunate that, you know, it didn't go as well. But, you know, Brittany and I actually said, I mean, come on, it's his first time here. I mean, if he podiums, we'll never talk to him again.
He'll never want to talk to us.
No, he'll just say, what?
Racer?
What? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me. Have their people call my people.
Well, I think it speaks.
Would never happen.
It speaks volumes that the owner already says, hey, I think I might need to get a newer car.
Well,
like that means he really believes in you, AJ.
Yeah. Well, and
no, it was, I had a really good time with him, and he seemed to, I mean, that's kind of the biggest thing in racing that I've learned. It's like, you always have your parents.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my parents have a car, so they always support me and they always believe in me.
Sure.
But having a car owner that truly like just thinks you're the stuff, you know, it's,
yeah.
That's a big deal. It's like, I'm very lucky to have that in the Lightning Sprint mm-hmm. with Mike Schweitzer. The guy just,
yeah.
He just feels like I can do no wrong. And I'm like, man, Mike, I'm not, I appreciate you think I'm that good and I'm going to try to do it. But, you know, and well, that was kind of the same sensation I had with Cruz, is he was,
right.
He believed in me. So that was, it's always nice.
Well, but they see, I mean, I could tell you, cause I've been doing this way longer than I should. Your attitude mm-hmm. and the way you are around other people mm-hmm. is about 70% of it. Because if you were a pain in the butt, or if you were very demanding, or if you got mad and threw wrenches, and you wouldn't be driving nothing. But because I think you gel with the team, and I think that's 70% of a good driver. You've got to be able to gel with your team and work as a team player. And when things go bad, it goes bad for everybody. You know, it's not just one; it's all. So I think that has a lot to do. And you can thank your parents for that, for their upbringing of you, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think they would make me quit racing if I had bad attitude about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I have a. So what did Corey say? Corey Kruseman.
You know, it was kind of a weird deal with Corey, because I was going to drive one of his cars, and I was going to rent a ride. And then when Cruz called me, I was like, man, Corey, I can't turn down a free ride, you know, and he was actually really understanding, sure. but I could tell he was kind of bummed, because I was looking forward to working with him, because
yeah.
I've obviously grown up watching him race, and it's Corey yeah. Kruseman, so why not?
Yeah.
But he understood the situation. He knows it's a money thing, you know?
Sure.
And so, but he was the first one to come over when he saw, like, we were pitted pretty close to him, and he saw us having trouble, that's and he awesome. Was the first one to come over yeah. and figure that stuff out, and he still gave me tons of advice, and just is more or less just kind of like mental advice, you know,
yeah.
just keeping your head strong.
Yeah.
Don't let the moment get too big, and just kind of uh-huh. just do what you do. We're just going in circles, you know?
Yeah. Go have fun. Go have fun.
Kudos to Corey. Kruse.
AJ, I am so happy you called.
Yes,
I mean,
thank
when
you for
Scott,
the update.
When I'm going to thank Scott no 10 problem. Times over, because you're always a joy. We love talking to you, and keep us in the loop as far as getting a ride. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go to Cocoa Paw, whatever it is you're going to do. And did you get your picture taken with Kyle Larson?
No, I didn't. But Cruz and his wife, Petragon, they did. And they were talking all about it. They were excited.
He's so little, though.
I got one better. I got passed by Kyle Larson in the heat race. So.
All right.
That's like me saying, it took Sheldon Creed a while to pass me. Oh, that's my Sheldon big Creed thing. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
Threw a slider on me, so I got
that's
that one.
Awesome.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, buddy. Look forward to talking to you down the road, man.
Yeah, sounds good. You guys have a good one.
All right, you too. All right, folks, this is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Certified Car Clinic. You want them to go fast? Certified's got a dyno that can show you that they did it. Whether you're going straight, circles, left, right, Certified does it all. Check these boys out at CertifiedCarCare.net. Well, Supercross was in
San Diego
last night. And here was, and I can't believe I got up quick enough to take a picture, but Landon Curry, Blake Badgett, Grant Ransdale, Eli Tomac, Kyle Gork, Justin Barcia, Malcolm Stewart, and Jason Anderson all raced together at the ages of 7 and 9 at the 2002 Loretta Lynn Ranch 65 Stock.
Yeah, I saw that, and like four of them were in the race last night together from that list.
It was amazing.
That's
it was
how
amazing.
Long they've raced together, yeah. that they all made it pro. And yeah, that was a cool little fact.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that last night because there were part of me, I was thinking of going.
I was going to text you to see if you were watching
it. Oh, absolutely was watching it. And, you know, I was. I did other stuff last night, but part of me was going to go. And then while I was sitting at home watching it, I thought of all the little side stories and facts and the science behind what they listen to. It's like, I would have missed all that.
Yeah. Well, that's
I love the commentators.
I hate to tell you, but that's why I watch it on TV, because you get so much backstory. So you didn't go either?
No, Kawasaki does, like, when they do their breakdowns.
Yeah.
And Kawasaki has, like, their little segment they cover things. They have some interesting
stuff. Did you
see
the one? It wasn't this weekend. It was when they were in Oakland with the swing arms and all the different adjustments and all the brackets, you know, to hang the engine just so.
Uh-huh.
It was, I mean, if you're into that kind of stuff.
Well, they were talking about laser cutting their own stuff for their race bikes.
Right.
From the factory parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they don't let anybody watch and see that.
When you talk about the swing arm, it reminds me of Marty Tripes. Remember him talking about his stuff. That's good stuff. Hello, great races. The mains.
Oh, yeah.
I told Steve, he came into the back room during 450, and I was like, okay, we got our local boy coming up. We got our local boy, Christian Craig. And then what happens in the first turn?
Goes down. They're like, oh, he's done.
No.
That bike was on top of him. He was trying to kick it off.
I think there were two bikes on top of him. You're right.
And he started dead last and finished.
Yeah.
Third. He didn't podium. Did he podium third?
I think he got third.
Yeah. I was just like.
He was 22nd.
They were like, if he even finishes, it's going to be a miracle.
Yeah,
here's the 450 main. Sexton.
Yes, another Sexton in racing. That was the other thing that went through. I'm all, another Sexton family we have to keep organized?
Tomac.
Uh-huh.
Fernandez.
No.
That's what I thought.
He was a 250 that crashed.
No, I thought it was 450. But anyway, then Webb, Stewart, Plessinger, Roczen, and Barcia.
Yeah, Christian Craig's 250.
250, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. I didn't take a picture of that. But he came from dead last.
22nd.
To second.
To third. Third?
No, he came in second. Came in second. Look it up. Come on, girl.
It was a good race. That's one of the good races about that. But and then like a couple of guys, like the big names that were hurt, they didn't even come back in.
No. Both the 250 and 450, it was the first time winning for those
for
who
both,
won.
For both first placers.
It was their first time.
They were crying like babies.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. And then you know what I thought? They're going to love San Diego because that was their first.
Well, and you know what? There's probably a lot to be said for that.
It's better than last year. Last year, remember, it was raining. The place was like a swamp.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And that's a good point. And I was thinking, because I watched it last week too, it didn't seem to get as rutty. Not as deep ruts.
So when you guys had those guys on before, there's a guy that's on that dirt crew that I was wondering if they still have Dirt Works working with him. Mananga, a guy named Mananga. He runs Dirt Works and he does the tracks for for Supercross. He also helps us out with our monster truck stuff that we do. And he was coming out and doing more monster truck tracks.
Yeah. Mm.
So I got to know what it's like behind the Supercross tracks.
That's crazy. I was saying to Steve last night, I'm like, I can't believe the baseball field is under that.
Well, just throw plywood down.
Just? No. And did they turn that over in 1 week? Or did they?
It takes a couple of weeks to get it prepped. And then when they have it prepped for monster truck, then you'll do Supercross. It's like Anaheim.
Right.
Anaheim is doing everything. So they did Supercross, monster trucks, Supercross.
Yeah, it's going back.
And then back of monster trucks. Like they did they did a couple monster trucks and Supercross there.
Right.
But it just looked like a different venue.
Because you can't tear it down and rebuild. You can't tear it down and put it back together again. You almost have to build it and leave it for a while.
Yeah, well, they'll change the track setup or whatever they're going to run.
Yeah, yeah,
but the base they keep.
Yes.
Can you imagine a monster truck going through the whoops?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, kind of, but it wouldn't be as fun.
So by the way, did you see me where I went down to El Cajon Ford? And they had a Gravedigger.
Did you get a picture in there?
Oh,
I crawled up in the driver's seat. And if you don't think that wasn't a challenge for this big chubby.
You mean Amber didn't take a video of that?
No, I wouldn't let her. I said,
I'm going to encourage it next time.
Well, it took me a while to figure out how to open the door. Once I figured out how to open the door, then I went.
The door opens?
Yeah, the door opened suicide. Well, I thought I was going to have to crawl up from underneath.
Yeah.
But no, it opens up and then it's like, okay, look for the dirt. Okay, there's where 1 foot would go. And then this is where the other foot would go.
Oh, boy.
I said, I don't think I could stretch that far. But I got up in it.
Oh, someone please get video next time.
I know, but I had a good time. And I was going to go down to the party, you know, the pit party.
Mm-hmm.
and try to sneak my way up in the car. But since I was able to get up in the car.
You didn't have to.
But here, check this out. So I go into El Cajon Ford. I go up to the desk. And I'm talking to the guys. I go, hey, nice having Gravedigger down. Yeah, it's cool, huh? I go, you do know that's a 54 Chevy panel truck. And he went, huh? I said, it's a 54 Chevy panel truck. They didn't even bring a Ford in.
That's actually one of the few that I still run a steel body, I think. They have a steel body on that one.
And this guy airbrushes every car. There's no wrap.
That's awesome.
Everything is airbrushed.
Talent. That's talent.
Yeah. And he's an older guy, too. Not that that
experience
makes any
and
difference.
Talent. You were saying off air, they're coming back to the fair?
We have heard rumor, tentative, that they are doing 6 days. Well, it's probably going to come out. I know if you follow any of the normal monster truck stuff like WGS Motorsports is where I kind of hang out with them guys. They're doing the Del Mar Fair. It's 29th through the 4th, so June to July.
Uh-huh.
June 29th to July 4th, there's like 6 days they're going to be doing the stuff at the fair.
When are you going to get to drive one? You're still young.
You
don't want to. You wouldn't want to drive one.
I'd love to tear one up. I'd love to tear one up. That's the thing. When you get like versus racing, like Feld Motorsports and Monster Truck, you know that's their thing. They tear them trucks up.
Oh, I know.
At night.
Oh, I know.
And they're like, you don't bring your truck back on the trailer.
Oh my
without
goodness! How many zeros are behind the repair bill?
Oh, just stupid.
Oh yeah,
I can't imagine.
But you know what I want to do?
Pretty much a whole other truck.
I want to go to Minch's University, Monster Truck University.
That would be a fun one.
Have you done that, Dirt Dude?
What, the Monster Truck Experience?
Yeah.
No.
What?
I would.
But see, you know what? You can go. You and Brittany could go on media. You know, I can get you guys media.
Does Dave know somebody? Can you just drop a name?
I know lots of people in the Monster Truck. But see, the only reason I won't do it because I want to get Dennis Anderson to build me a truck sponsored by AARP. And the first jump, have an ambulance handy.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I think we're all getting pretty close to you there, too.
What? I'm only turning 49 tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's...
What?
I know.
Yeah.
50. Still in my 40s. 52, 3, somewhere
you
in there.
You don't even remember. I don't even know
I don't keep
how old
track
I am.
I just know I'm over the 50 part going down.
The invincible.
But wouldn't that be something fun to do, to go back and don't have to pay for anything and just go?
Yeah. If someone else has got the budget, be like, hey, this is all covered. Don't worry about it.
And you'd take the class. All you'd have to do is get somebody to videotape it so we could come to KUSI. Oh, no, the other reason I won't do it, I can't afford one of those trucks. That's exactly what I'd be doing. Well, my dear, happy birthday.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Yep, try to take you to lunch, but no.
But I have to work.
So you should go to World Famous for lobster bisque and baguettes.
Yes. Hey, real quick, I got to send a shout out to David Hunt. He tore his car apart, and he's sending it to scrap. So, buddy, hopefully that car worked out good for you. You got another one in the wings you're going to put together.
Just go down to the Walmart parking lot. There's lots of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.